The Cap and J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and J Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
I'm laughing at you not talking with your mic on.
Sorry.
And that's a fine. PerniesBookBank.org. Let's go.
Okay. By the way, next Thursday, the big charity walk, we have surpassed the $100,000 mark. So please, 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 I'm begging you all, if you can give $2, $2 million, whatever it is, it's an amazing organization that provides high-quality reading and learning materials to underserved boys and girls and so many in our inner city and in the area don't have Wi-Fi. So please, if you can, BerniesBookBank.org. We will be walking to every pro and college stadium starting at the United Center next Thursday, 25 miles or so.
That's cool. Where's the dollar?
I don't have any cash.
You know what?
Oh, wait, I do.
You're it's just my, a bad.
Hold on. I got it. Hang on.
Such a bad guy. You got to welch out on the bill.
My money. I never have cash.
Okay. She takes your money. Okay.
She does.
All right. BerniesBookBank.org.
There you go.
And as Cap mentioned, we take stuff for granted, right? We take stuff for granted saying, oh, when we walk in our home, of course we got Wi-Fi and everything's connected to, you know, our connected devices and speakers and all that stuff. Well, everyone is not blessed with Wi-Fi, and this is why Cap does this. Cap is doing this for a great cause. There's so many kids, underserved kids, that need to have the ability to read. Right. Mm-hmm. And so this is why Cap does this every year, because he cares about the kids, about students that really need to be able to read and to be able to have textbooks. So BerniesBookBank.org is where you go to donate. And again, next Thursday is going to be a fun time for everybody involved. Because
except my feet.
You'll be fine, though. You're like a champ.
Have you begun training?
Oh, big time. And you know that the great people at Fleet Feet, you ever heard of those stores?
Yes.
This guy David owns Fleet Feet. He's got several stores. Darren Utnick, the CEO of Bernie's Book Bank, and I went to Fleet Feet. And we got fitted for shoes. They put you on this computer thing, and it tells you the actual shoe you should have for your gait, for your walk.
Fleet Feet is the greatest store if you're a runner.
Oh, my God.
I swear by it. I go all the time. They measure my feet. They're like, you shouldn't be wearing Nikes. I'm like, I've been running in Nikes for the last 10 years.
I walked in the ones that I wear to work every day, and they're like, you don't walk in those, right? I'm like, yeah. I walked in laceless shoes last year. Like, are you an idiot? You've got to have this. And I got Brooks. Dude, I'm wearing them every day to train for the walk. They're amazing.
I don't want to sidetrack the show. Brooks are great running shoes and great walking shoes, but boy, do they make ugly shoes. You look like a dad in those shoes.
Yeah, they're ugly. But they are amazing on my feet. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, anyway.
You were saying about Bill Parcells.
Yes.
And your feet.
Bill Parcells, he's a Hall of Famer. He's built championship teams. He was asked on KJM, the show that precedes us, about the Bears and Justin Fields.
I think that's a tough situation. And I think you could just see by their play selection last week that they weren't confident in their offensive line. You know, throwing the ball short, quick, that kind of thing. And, you know, until that gets better, I think that environment for Justin Fields is just kind of phase him in slowly and let him get his experience. You know, I think I could give you one illustration of a guy that got phased in perfectly. When Russell Wilson went to Seattle, they had a great defense and a great running back in Marshawn Lynch, and he really didn't have to do much. He just had to not mess it up until he grew into the job, which he did very well. And I think that was a case where the environment was perfect for a young quarterback to come in and develop.
So when you hear that,
what do you think of that?
Well, so he's saying you could tell by their play selection, they don't believe in their offensive. Their interior of their offensive line is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. James Daniels, excellent player. Cody Whitehair, solid player. Mustafer, Very good player. Effetti's fine on the right side. They have an issue at left tackle. I get it. Justin Fields gives you more mobility than anybody else that you could put at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That means if you run things and allow him to use his feet to extend plays, you should be able to make some plays down the field. Again, he's got a lot to learn. He's a rookie quarterback.
Right.
I get it. What I don't understand is, if you're going to play him five plays, why is one an end around to Marquise Goodwin? One is a shuttle pass up the middle or a little shovel deal. Like, what is he learning from that?
Right. Well, as I've told you, Cap, I would prefer for Justin Fields to start if you're going to put him in there at all. I don't believe in the certain section of plays. I know San Francisco did that with Trey Lance. And again, that was very limited success for Trey Lance as well, this for week one. I would just prefer to start the kid. Like, for instance, Trevor Lawrence, far and away, the number one guy. Mac Jones, they cut two quarterbacks to allow Mac Jones to be the guy in New England. Zach Wilson has former Illini head coach Mike White behind him, so that's not going to work with the New York Jets, right? And so, to me, I would just prefer for Fields to start. Just give him the opportunity. That's what I would say, instead of just giving him a package of plays. It was almost like Nagy was just trying to appease the fans, like, oh, you want Fields? How about this shovel pass to Robinson? Now, here's where it backfired, I think, on Nagy, what made it even more difficult for him. Because Fields scored a touchdown, utilizing his legs. It made it more difficult and put more pressure on him to play the kid more often.
That's why when I see it second and goal at the two after Justin completes an 8-yard pass, and he comes out to go back to Andy Dalton, a blind man could tell you you have a better advantage with the legs of Justin Fields and his athleticism to put stress on the defense to score in that situation.
Which blind man again?
Stevie Wonder.
There you go, Stevie Wonder. Still a modern reference. Good job.
There you go. So that's when I question Matt a lot.
Yeah.
That just gives me even more question. Like, dude, what are you doing?
What are we
talking? Is the goal to score, or is the goal for you to keep Andy Dalton happy?
I totally understand what you're saying, man. And what did we talk about coming into the season? We said, if nothing else on this show, we've said no more excuses for the offense, right? Oh, Mitch wasn't right for the offense. Oh, this guy wasn't right for the offense. We had to make some changes here and there. And so you have a veteran guy in Andy Dalton. Now, keep in mind, Andy Dalton is not necessarily a deep threat quarterback. That's really not his MO. But he can get it down the field.
Yes.
All we heard in practice, all the tweets we saw is like, boy, Andy throws a real deep ball. Boy, I tell you what, Mooney and Robinson will have a fun time. Okay, so we didn't see that in week one. And the excuse was, or the reason was, is because the Rams' defense was that daunting, that strong, right, that you had to play it underneath. Now, what happens on Sunday? I think that the Bears will take more shots down the field against the Bengals' defense. And if they don't, Cap, they're going to get a beating on Monday morning. I'm just telling you, like, it's going to be bad.
It absolutely. Now, again, if they go out and win 17-13, we'll question the offense, but at least they got a victory. But I want to see them stress defenses.
Are you optimistic they can win the game? Or no? Or
they
are you 50-50? Do you believe they will win the game? Because I'm telling you now, I
careful.
The Bears are going to win on Sunday.
I can't tell you that.
Come on. Ride with me.
In a pick'em situation in the newspaper today.
What's the latest number?
Three? Danny, what's the latest?
I think Carm was saying yesterday it was down to one.
Pick'em then.
Yeah, because in the paper today, it's me, Sylvie, and Potash. We do the picks.
What's your record, buddy?
I was 8-8 last weekend.
What was Sylvie?
2-14. And Potsy was 8-8 as well. You knew what it
FanDuel
was.
FanDuel has the Bears giving 2.5.
Why did he say that on the radio, Wada? He had a rough week. We've all been there.
He'll be fine. It's a long season.
Didn't you just atone?
I did, yes.
I did, Danny. 100%. I was asked a question.
You took some joy in his record. You took some joy. You did take a little joy in pointing out that his record is what it is.
I did not take any joy. In fact,
seemed
I said
joyful.
We've all been there.
Seems joyful. Also, the fact that you showed all of us individually at the break. Check out Sylvie's record. Look at Sylvie's record. Don't deny it, Cap. Now you're taking joy in it, and you're lying.
I didn't lie.
You just atoned, man. Start fasting again.
When did I lie? I pointed out.
So admit you took joy in it.
Hey, look at my picks. Hey, look at Sylvie. Dang it! That's what you did. It's a long season, man.
Wasn't quite that gleeful. Close. Drove by his house this morning. 2-14! Oh.
Why is there a 2-14 sign in my lawn? Cap?
Because the 4-28 wasn't ready yet.
Oh! That's just he's going to get you, man. Whatever. He's going to get you.
Whatever. He does every day anyway.
He's going to get you.
Whatever.
He's one of the best prankers we have in the business here. Yes. He's going to get you.
Whatever.
That being said, FanDuel has the Bears giving 2.5. The over-under is 45.5.
Okay, because in the Sun Times, it's 1.
Yes.
Yes, but that was Tuesday's paper.
So
the lines in the paper, you know, don't really reflect reality because they were printed months ago.
Glance Culver, they...
Yes.
That's the name of the line?
Yes. What did Vernon Jarrett have in the paper this morning? Anything interesting?
Nothing.
Any news?
John Cass either.
Nothing? Nothing from Cass?
Nothing.
All right.
All right, 312-332-3776.
So you're not going to commit, man. You're not going to ride with me that the Bears will win on Sunday.
I picked them -1 in the paper, but I'm not, at this point, not willing to put my money on the Bears.
Ride with me. Don't you think it'll be... I can give you reasons why. I mean, I think we've talked about it a lot. The single high safety tells me that there will be some open looks for Dalton to go down the field. If not, like, deep balls like the Rams game, like the Rams did to us, I think that the Bears could be able to find some open shots for the tight end, if nothing else. And I think Mooney could have a good game, too.
I hope you're right.
Here's what I don't know. I don't know what defensive secondary shows up. I think that the Bears will score and have shots more than 11 yards down the field.
Play the over.
Fair.
There you go.
But a Bears victory, right?
I hope you're right.
Oh,
312-332-3776.
You're the host of the after show on NBC Sports Chicago.
Right. I'll tell you on that show how they did. Jeff Dickerson gets us ready for Bears Bengals next. Take that.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
It's 9:17 in the great city of Chicago. Wearing his old school t-shirt. You got some of the best t-shirts you wear to work every day.
I work mornings, pal. I find all this stuff in the dark.
That's it. That is it.
Whatever's there that smells clean and looks halfway decent, I'll put it on.
That's good.
Just want to be comfortable.
I like that one with the old school cassette deck, the boombox.
That's right.
Jeff Dickerson, brought to you by the Pride Stores. Not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. JD gets us ready for Bears and Bengals next. JD, good morning. How are you, Sparkles?
Guys, good morning. It's great to talk with both of you. Jonathan, I have stopped laughing at Dave Gettleman by now. I'd be very proud of me. I did go to sleep with a big smile on my face, thinking about how the Giants GM must just be in agony over the way they lost that game last night.
Okay, I mean, with the Giants, my friend says it somewhere, it's like, the Giants, typical Giants, not a surprise, okay? We lost the game, okay? So not a surprise, right? I mean, they had the game in the balance, JD,
they found a way.
They had the game and they lose. I'm happy for it. I think all of us, I can speak for you and Cap, we root for Ron Rivera.
Yes.
And we're happy for him being able to get the job done with Tyler. Was it Heineke?
Taylor Heineke had a very good game, whatever it is.
He made a great throw
for that last touchdown. But, I mean, the Giants drop a touchdown. They have a holding call on a long touchdown run. And then how does the guy jump off sides on the field goal that Washington misses?
How is that? Typical Giants.
What
okay.
are you doing? It had to have been Gettleman's response. So anyways, I have stopped laughing. Cap, you're right. Big guy, let me tell you. Last week, they never should have taken Justin Fields out in the red zone after that first completion. And I think you're going to see his role evolve more this weekend against the Bengals. Like, I would anticipate there's going to be a couple of moments where he's in the game for more than just one snap at a time. I think in the red zone, he has proven to be such a superior weapon than Andy Dalton that they got to let him go in there and let him cook and let him work in the red zone. So if you were to ask me my projection for field snaps on Sunday, guys, I would say if it's 15, it wouldn't surprise me. I think it's going to be quite greater than what you saw last week against the Rams.
JD, do you believe or agree with what I said to my friend Jonathan, that if it's Bears have 3 points at the half or seven and they're losing and they look awful and the offense is doing nothing, Justin Fields is starting the second half?
Well, it would depend, wouldn't it? I mean, if Dalton is not playing well, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to try to shake it up. Guys, think about this. I mean, and I asked Matt Nagy this question yesterday, and he wasn't going to go there. But, you know, and Jonathan and I talked about this, Cap, yesterday morning on the show. Can you imagine if they lose this game and they're 0-2 and now they're going to Cleveland and they're going to be 0-3? What happens then? Like, what happens to this team then? If they're 0-3,
yep.
That is going to be a lot of panic. There's going to be some changes made. So I think getting this game on Sunday, no matter how you do it, has to be their mindset, and I can almost guarantee you it is. I know that Nagy did not want to say, like, this was a turning point game, which I kind of feel like it might be if they lose. If they win, they get back to 500, okay, take a deep breath. Any way you can win, I think that's how they have to approach it. And if that means playing Justin Fields more and more and more, I think they're going to do it. So, Cap, yeah, if the offense just stinks and Dalton's turning the ball over in the first half and they're down 21 points, 14 points, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they make the change.
Jeff, based on your sources around Hallis Hall, how much pressure do you think is around Hallis Hall that it seems like every sports television show is talking about how Justin Fields should start and that Nagy's making a mistake? This is more coverage on this than all of Trubisky, in my view.
True. Well, this is all that they cover with the Bears. Like, there's nothing, just so you guys are aware, there is not a storyline on the Bears that has any interest nationally except for Justin Fields.
What do the Bears think of that?
I think they have to accept it. I think they do accept it. I think they understand it. I think they would argue that their plan has not been as bad as some people make it out to be. But this is what you get when you draft Justin Fields. You move up and you get him, and then you don't play him right away. And the guy that he's sitting behind is kind of an average older quarterback. But, I mean, like, I can't tell you guys how many times ESPN laughs at me when I'm like, hey, Eddie Goldman's out again. He went backwards on the report. Should we write a news story about this? They go, who? Eddie Goldman? No. I'm like, okay.
You're laughing like Jackie Slater laughed at us after the Bears.
Vince Ferragamo laughing at the Bears.
Right.
So, and the only thing that they have interest in is maybe aside from Fields is Montgomery for fantasy reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing. So when these national shows get their rundown and they say, okay, I guess we should talk about Chicago because it is the third largest market in the NFL, right? There's nothing else to talk about except for Justin Fields and what's going on at the quarterback situation. That's just the reality they're dealing with right now.
So I got to ask you about the offensive line being in flux. The Ravens are down to their fourth left tackle. They've dealt with a ton of injury, and they put big money into it. Ronnie Stanley, I believe, is hurt again. When you look at the Bears' offensive line, interior Mustafa and James Daniels and Cody Whitehair
is really good. Yeah.
Very solid. I sit with Olin every week to watch the games. He says James Daniels is the best offensive lineman they have, and he believes he is a future Pro Bowler. What are they going to do at left tackle? Because even if Jason Peters does get out on the field, can that dude hold up?
Wow. I mean, if James Daniels can become a future Pro Bowler, what a boost that would be to the offense and to the franchise. I mean, obviously Olin sees things I mean, that would be amazing. I know Owen works with Sam Mustipher, who I think is a real ascending player, Cap. I think eventually he's going to be really good. And I love the fact that he's working with Olin, because there's no one better to work with, in my opinion, if you play the center position. So at left tackle right now, you know, Larry Borum did not practice again yesterday. My guess is he'll be out again on Sunday. He'll be out on Sunday. They have listed Jason Peters as limited, but guys, I get a little itchy and scratchy when a guy has to leave a game week one with a quad injury, and then he can't have full participation in practice the next week. Oh, and he's 39 years old. Oh, and he signed late in training camp. Like, to me, it's not trending in the direction that he's going to play. So, Cap, what they have is Elijah Wilkinson. You know what he is? He's a right tackle who's playing left tackle out of necessity. And the Bears, you know, defended him the other day. Bill Lazor really went out of his way to, when he wasn't, you know, laughing or chuckling a little bit, went out of his way to say that Elijah Wilkinson played great and he stepped in there and did a great job. I'm sure they're trying to boost his confidence, because everyone knows he's not on the left side in a perfect world. So, Cap, that's what they've got to do. And you got to hope eventually that Tevin Jenkins comes back. Whenever that's going to be, who knows? But, yeah, not exactly ideal to be on your number four tackle right now on the left side. And there's just no – I would love to say there's a magic fix to all of this. They tried that with Jason Peters. Obviously not working out so well right now. But that's such a premium position that there aren't all these great left tackles just hanging out on the street somewhere waiting to be signed.
What are you hearing on the Bengals side that the Bears should be wary of on Sunday?
I hear Joe Burrow is strutting around like Flair in that robe.
He's not strutting around. He's not strutting around. No.
Hey, you guys see that tape of the Bears defense? Woo! Oh, my God.
Limo riding. Diamond Rolex wearing.
He's not doing all of that.
Jamar Chase, find it. No. Baby.
Son of a gun. And the bottom line is, when I look at his defense, Desai, woo! When I get you, Sean Desai, in Chicago, Soldier Field sold out. Sold out. I will beat you down and make you cry. And then afterwards at the Marriott, if you're 25 to 35, woo! And you're a blonde, you're for me.
That's right. And I'll be in the lobby of the JW Marriott.
I'll
wait for you after the game, baby. Oh,
and if you're Joe Mixon, he likes some brunettes. Woo! The bottom line is, when we get to the Hotel Marriott, 100 kamikazes, because when we beat you in Chicago.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. So just so you guys are aware, right there is what I'm hearing.
Yes,
Arn did like the brunettes back in the day, for sure.
Jamar Chase. Oh, no. He's going to have a field day, because the Hushmen are coming to town. And then the General Bruce MacArthur, when we get on the boat and we're on the Blackhawk, all night long, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Woo!
That's basically how it's been, I'm told, at the Bengals.
Oh, okay. So
it's just been one big Starcade 88.
Okay, well.
Okay?
The best.
I don't think it's like that at all with the Bengals.
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, right, think about the Bengals. Now, they're trying to flip this whole operation, right? They had a win that most people did not expect last week. Their offense looked great. They've got a quarterback they believe in. They've got tons of weapons at wide receiver, at running back. Oh, man, they're looking at this saying, you know what? You can laugh at the Bengals all you want. We're going to change our entire direction here of where this is all headed and get a win in Chicago. That's how they're going to feel coming in. Now, I picked the Bears to win by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you guys that on ESPN.com. The picks had to go on Wednesday, as they always do. And I picked them to win by 1 point. But that's not a real confident one-point pick. I think the Bears certainly can win. You could argue they should win. But can they lose? Oh, absolutely. Kidding me? You don't think that the Bengals feel like they can come in here and get a win? Well, if you don't, you're not paying attention.
All right, last thing. I was asked on a TV hit on NBC5 this morning, biggest problem, offense or defense? I said, neither. It's the coach. Do you agree?
Oh, look at you. Well, I would say after week one, the biggest problem is the defense, Cap.
Disagree.
I would say the defense. I mean, come on.
JD, you have a guy throw his first NFL pass. It's second and goal at the 2. A blind man
Stevie Wonder would know, well, that dude's way more dangerous at the two than the tall red rifle. What do we do? Nope.
Cap, you've got a guy that is more open running down the field in Cooper Kupp than any receiver has been in the NFL in 3 years. 3 years! That's how open he was.
Don't disagree.
You got guys that don't know to touch a guy when he's down? I'm talking about veteran players. And Tashaun Gibson, he's the only one that stepped up and said anything about all of this, and he's trying to take all the blame. And you know what? Quite frankly, number four should take a lot more blame than Tashaun Gibson. He's been nowhere to be found. No surprise there. Come on. Have you seen the missed tackles?
Yeah, man.
The busted plays. Now, I'm not – no, Cap, I understand that there's angst around the head coach and the play calling, and he's got to do a better job of fixing this. And, you know, there's 16 games left, and he's got to do it, got to do the job. Otherwise, you know, the job's going to be in jeopardy. But that defense was so horrific last week. And I don't want to hear about scheme. I don't want to hear about Sean Desai. Woo! I want to hear about guys just doing their job. I mean, basic stuff that veterans should know how to do. That's what I think should infuriate the majority of the people.
All right. Have a wonderful weekend. By the way, yeah, we got Nature Boy references, Woo! The Horseman, and you even said Itchy and Scratchy. That's one of my favorite comics of all time.
That was an old school one on MTV.
Itchy and Scratchy. That was Harry Shearer, and it appeared in The Simpsons a lot.
That's right, The Simpsons.
There you go.
She'll be coming around the mountain. Witchy cops.
When you see Joe Burrow walking down Michigan Avenue with just a robot and nothing else underneath, that's a bad sign the Bengals won.
Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Mixon, Chase, we're the Horsemen. Woo! And the bottom line is... 100 kamikaze shots for everybody.
Courtesy of the Nature Boy.
That was just a start, by the way. Those 100 kamikaze shots.
Oh, yes.
That was just in the first half an hour of happy hour.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man, have a good weekend.
All right, guys, take care.
That's General you. Bruce MacArthur. Woo!
Wait a minute. You on the boat, Blackhawk? What's going on here?
The best.
Friday Folder, one of our favorite segments of the week,
is next.
Woo!
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Well, Danny's getting after it. I thought he had atonement yesterday. He's yelling at Merkin. It's amazing. And on his birthday, he's yelling at him.
Is today Merkin's birthday?
Yeah.
I cannot believe that guy. He's been eligible for Social Security for like 15 years. I mean,
how old do you think his cells are?
Oh, my God. Merkin takes the test. Yes, I am 67. Woo, woo. Actually, you're 99. Wow.
This comes back N-A.
That's it. Not available. Too old.
And now it's time for the Friday Folder.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
It is brought to you by the wonderful people at Act ABT. Act Electronics in Glenview, the greatest store the good Lord ever created. Danny, good morning again, my friend.
Good morning, gentlemen. Let's start with some serious sports before we get to the fun stuff. Angels' Shohei Ohtani has a sore arm, may not pitch again this season.
You know, I understand. The season's coming to an end, so I understand you want to shut him down. It was just good to see him out there yesterday, Cap. Again, it's amazing. The Angels have two must-see players. Again, as baseball fans for you and I, Trout, who's out, but yet Ohtani as well, both on the same team, and they're not Dodgers.
Correct.
It's interesting.
Yep.
But you should have seen the kids, though, right? Also, you take a look around the stadium, you saw people that really were into him batting. He does draw attention, for sure.
I would do the exact same thing if I was the Cubs. I would shut Wilson Contreras down, especially the other day when he made the play at the plate and he got up very gingerly on his knee. That guy's a beast. So, like Ohtani, Contreras, if your team's up the track just getting your ass kicked like they did yesterday, come on, man, shut these guys down. Danny.
NHL expects 98% of their players to be vaccinated before the season. The league is projecting that between 10 and 15 of nearly 700 players will not be vaccinated.
Boy, you know, we can have a debate, Cap, on exactly which sport was hurt with no fans during the pandemic. That hockey has to be right there in the team photo, high on the team photo. Just an empty rink with no kind of fans, especially in Canada for the longest time. Just like, man, I like the fans and people pounding on the glass, especially when they come around the boards. I think hockey is really hurt by it. It's good to see. Now, here's the thing. With their 98% vaccination, the hope is that more players are available and the fans can be there in abundance as well for the entire season.
I'm with you 100%. And again, because it's represented by a union, they can't unilaterally say you must be vaccinated. They can to the employees other than the players. The coaches can be mandated to the tier one personnel other than the players. And that's going on in the NFL, the NBA, all of these different organizations, MLB, but the players are not. But it's good to hear that the lion's share will be vaccinated.
I read the story you read about the NBA players not needing to be vaccinated. Hopefully that does not it doesn't backfire on a team.
Correct.
You know, where you have a lot of players that have to leave because of COVID and all that.
Yeah, you have the Bears are 90-some percent vaccinated. The Falcons, the Buccaneers, there's somebody else, but those two for sure, 100%.
Danny.
Gentlemen, on to the soccer portion of our show. U.S. Soccer offers men and women identical contract proposals.
The WNBA say, where is ours? That's usually their beef. I've talked to Skylar Diggins. I've talked to Candace Parker. I've talked to a number of other WNBA players that say, look, we know we're not going to get that close to the players, but you should pay us more. It should be closer than it has been. And they're not happy with that. And I'm happy to see that at least the women there in the soccer will be able to get equal pay.
Look, let's be honest. The women's soccer is more successful than the men's soccer.
Correct.
The women's soccer is the best in the world. I know they didn't play well a few weeks ago, but they'd won like a billion games in a row. Mm-hmm. They absolutely should get paid more than they get, and there should be equal pay there. On the basketball side, you got to look at attendance, TV rating, sponsorship. All that goes into it. You're never going to pay WNBA players $45 million a year like you do to LeBron James or some of these players.
Ever?
Never. Mm. Never.
That's tough.
Never going to happen. But should their minimums go up and should their stars get more money if they're bringing people into the games? Yes, they should.
If the league... And that means that if the league, not just the WNBA commissioner, I'm talking about if the league really starts promoting the WNBA a lot better. I think it's a lot better than it was, say, 20 years ago under Val Ackerman. Put it that way, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot better now as far as awareness. Mm-hmm. ESPN does a good job of that. I think the Sky locally does a good job of it. But if the NBA really embraced the WNBA more, some of the players do. We see some of the NBA players at the WNBA players. If they embrace them more, I think that the ratings are going up, right? Because that, hey, if you like the NBA, what about the WNBA? It's still part of the same package. It's still basketball. Promote them more. You may think that the WNBA is less than. I've had a lot of exciting games from the WNBA. And again, you as a basketball coach know about the fundamentally sound nature of women playing basketball over men at times.
Yep.
So
no question.
It's not a bad game. It's actually developed a lot better, I think, than it was, I say, 20 years ago.
Fun to gamble on, too.
Yeah.
Danny.
While we're talking soccer, Cristiano Ronaldo had to move mansions due to noisy sheep.
Now, okay, so he allows sheep to get him out of his crib?
So he had to move mansions because sheep were way too loud with their baaing, keeping him up in his 7-bedroom spot. He moved his family out of a $6 million home after living there for just 1 week.
Ah, the privilege. The first world problems because sheep are baaing. Isn't that something?
So he just signed at Manchester United for some stupid amount of money, and he's made hundreds of millions of dollars. Big problem. I got to get rid of this mansion.
Danny, can't you find someone to remove those sheep?
Well, listen, I feel for him, dude. I try to sleep with my windows open, and I've got a forest preserve behind me and the cicadas with the chirping. It's hard to sleep, man.
Oh, stop. I've got cicada problem. But whatever.
Unbelievable.
Cap, but you and I are very different. Like, I hear Hoodie when he talks. Sometimes you don't.
Oh!
I have that ability. It's a
superpower.
Gift and a curse. Thing.
My wife all over me about it. You just tune things out. Yep, I do.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, 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 White Sox!
I think it's very unfortunate that you don't listen to what I tell you. It's not really good. White Sox fans, we've got tickets to give away for the White Sox and the Detroit Tigers. Caller number 10. Regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number, Sox in Detroit. Listen every hour during Cap and Jay Hood, Carmen and Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie will give away tickets at 45 past the hour. Next one will be 10:45 with Carmen and Yurko, a free ticket Friday presented by our friends at Chicago Cut right here on ESPN 1000. Danny.
Gentlemen, Guns N' Roses played Wrigley Field last night.
Oh, they did.
Oh, my God. Besides the Thursday night football game on my Twitter, it was the most tweeted about thing I saw.
Yep. And I had a good friend. My friend John was there. Mm-hmm. Said it was amazing.
I was not there.
I am looking at the set list.
You're Jonathan. Yes, dude.
I am looking at the set list. Incredible. I am so mad that they played on the night of Yom Kippur. I would have been there in a heartbeat otherwise.
Why would they? Okay. Here's a question. Why would you schedule on the night of Yom Kippur?
Yeah, but
why would you do that?
Yom Kippur is over at sundown. You could have still gone to the concert.
Yeah. I'm not going to make it downtown by whatever time. I mean, it didn't end till they didn't blow. If you're a religious person and you wait till they blow the shofar, they didn't blow the shofar till 7:41. There's no way for me to go from hearing the shofar blown at 7:41 to Wrigley Field by 8 o'clock.
Hope the chauffeur enjoyed it.
Exactly.
The shofar.
Oh, beg your pardon.
I mean, I was just waiting for the points bet app to be okay, let's go.
Is it sundown?
Gentlemen, SpaceX launches.
Looks
first
to me. Giants.
SpaceX what?
SpaceX launches first all civilian crew into orbit without professional astronauts.
Yeah, you can get me on that thing.
No shot at all. I know what that's like. They take you on this tour, and you think that you're going to go someplace else, and then all of a sudden you end up in America.
Excuse me. Are you an astronaut? No, but I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
No
yeah,
shot.
I'm out.
No.
Hard pass.
Danny.
Gentlemen, cows are getting potty trained to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They're using something called mooloos, which are where they're pooping.
Mulu has live sports, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you're aware of that.
I was not aware.
Yes. Breaker Mayfield tells us that.
I have no response to that, Danny, because I have no idea what a Mulu is.
No. The gas that comes out of cows, right, Danny?
Okay.
That's the emission.
Exactly. Right. Greenhouse gas emissions. They say cows and agriculture account for about 10% of that, and people say that's a reason to go vegan. That is not a reason to go vegan. It's such a small percentage coming from the cows and the cattle. That's just a cop-out of why you went vegan.
I agree with that.
But training cows is as dumb as people saying that the gas emissions are why you should go vegan. All these people should be sent up in space in SpaceX.
Correct. With non-astronauts.
Correct. We agree.
All right. We will get best trends with the great Carmen J. DeFalco next.
Here's David Kaplan.
Thank you, John. This hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Chicago's Big Ten team is back. They host Rutgers, Minnesota, Iowa, and Purdue this fall. Tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. Love you.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Right, that's a wrap for this week on Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie and I back Monday morning. It's 7 a.m. on a football Monday. Hopefully a victory Monday. Thank you, Danny Zetterman. Thank you to Tyler Aki. Meller is co-hosting with Carm today. And a happy birthday to Randy Merkin.
Happy 51, Randy.
And it's all brought to you by the wonderful people at Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne app and their Points Bet Sportsbook.
Okay, so what are you doing?
He's ahead of the game a little, but that's okay.
Oh, what am I doing?
What are you doing?
I
Carm and Meller.
Not yet. 5 minutes.
What's up, fellas?
Five minutes.
What are you doing?
There's Meller.
I have no idea.
Trends. What the hell?
No, come on in, Meller. What the?
We'll do trends at 10.
I jumped the gun. Sorry. Time for trends.
It's time for a wrap. I'm ready to go. I got a dentist appointment. Let's go.
Breaking news coming. Breaking news is coming.
It's Friday, right, Carm?
It's Friday.
Okay.
Okay.
He's as involved in this show today as he was in the show yesterday.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
What do you guys want to know?
9:55.
That would be a wrap. So long, everybody.
Like, what are you doing?
9:20, and he's like, all right, that's it for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Merck in 10 years. Nonetheless, let's move on now to some college trends. Could you help me with Notre Dame, who's a 7-point favorite against Purdue after the Toledo game last week?
I mean, Notre Dame's 0-2 against the numbers so far. 6-8 against the spread, guys, going back to the start of last season. So I'm not ready to lay points with Notre Dame. I'm also not telling you necessarily to take Purdue. Not a game I'll be playing, but I want to see Notre Dame go out and thump somebody before I start laying points with them. I thought the best thing that did happen maybe was kind of letting Florida State get back into that game in week one, and I thought they'd flex their muscle and go ahead and cover against Toledo, and they did. And I mean, that was kind of like life or death until the end. So
yeah,
not ready to go back Brian Kelly just yet, laying the touchdown. That's a stay away game for me. But yeah, 6-8 against the numbers since the start of last year. Not a good trend.
I'm going to cut right to the chase. Favorite game on the board.
My favorite game on the board, boy. If you're making me
Carm
pick one.
And Meller. Bop.
I think the Eagles.
That's in 5 minutes.
I think the Eagles cover this weekend at home against the 49ers. I think the Bills cover this week on the road, even though that goes against one of my favorite trends, playing those intra-division home dogs. And look, Flores has been great. Since Brian Flores got to Miami in 2019, the Dolphins have the best against the spread number in the NFL. You know who's got the worst, by the way?
Hmm.
The Bears. Dolphins are one. Yeah. Bears are dead last since the start of 2019. But this is not a good matchup for Miami. It hasn't been. They don't generate a lot of pressure without blitzing. And normally when you blitz and you're forced to play a lot of man coverage, that's when the Bills can beat you. The Dolphins got torched by Mac Jones with 11 personnel on the field last week. And I mean torched, guys. Eviscerated. And the Patriots probably should have played more. No team in the NFL plays more three wide receiver sets than Brian Daboll and the Bills. Last year, NFL average was 60%. They were in 11 personnel more than 71% of the time. They love three wides. They love to spread you out. They love to go downfield. They've averaged 40 a game against the Fish in their last five contests, winning all of them. It's a good matchup for Josh Allen and the Bills, and I think they'll bounce back this weekend.
Does the change of head coach at USC do anything to the number? Now, I have that as USC at 8-point favorite against Washington State.
Washington State. They're on the road to Washington State. They're another enigma to me. You know, as well as they played 2 weeks
ago. They're what,
Carm? An enigma.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Hoodie, will you stop it?
Dude, he does this to me all the time.
They were, you know, like, and I know most of the USC fans like Chris Black jumping for joy that they're changing coaches.
Yeah.
I don't have too much of a read on that game. I know my partner, Mike North, because we taped Odds Couple, and I'm going to direct everybody to that. But Mike had a little angle on some of the rumors surrounding James Franklin in Happy Valley.
Correct.
Possibly
There's
going
also to, Eric Bieniemy rumors.
That's another one, Eric Bieniemy. But as it relates to college football this weekend, Mike had an interesting take on the Penn State-Auburn game because of some of the stuff happening around James Franklin and the USC job. So make sure you check out the Odds Couple podcast. It'll be posted in about 2 hours on the great ESPN Chicago app.
Bama, 14.5-point favorite against Florida.
I mean, on the road against the team ranked in the top 15, and they're still more than a 2-touchdown favorite. Last year's game was probably a little bit closer than it should have been. And you had Trask and Pitts doing heroic things in the second half. But really, for most of the second half, it was a 2-touchdown game. But Bama didn't cover the 16-point spread. It was much closer than that.